is Lisa Horlander, and please don't drink the paint water. The podcast, conversations between artists about our work and other great advice to survive as an artist. Welcome to Don't Drink the Paint Water. This is Lisa. Thank you for listening in to the podcast. Today I'm going to be talking to Laura Davidson, and she is a friend of mine from the Cedars Union in Dallas. She is a current studio member there, Cohort 3, taking my spot, actually, my studio spot from Cohort 2. So that's pretty exciting. She pushes boundaries of art to divide waste items from landfills. She creates objects from recycled paper pulp, repurposed fabric from fiberworks and installations to make amazing, very witty work. Welcome, Laura, to the show. It's good to have you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Awesome. Okay, to get things started off, I wanted to ask you a few questions about your practice. So I know you just installed some work at an exhibit at 500X in Dallas, and I've heard only good things and haven't gotten to see it yet. I'm disappointed. Ironically, we just talked about you in my last episode.
That's so awesome.
So I wanted to start out with, I usually ask, like, what are you working on? What are you just finishing up? I want to hear about this work. Just to let people know, I'll have pictures up on Instagram to show y'all what we're talking about. What did you make and what inspired you?
Yeah, so this show is titled The Art of Consent, and it was hosted at 500X by an organization called Interrupt, and that is a very clever acronym. I don't know what all the words are. Basically, they are working to provide evidence-based sex education for teenagers in Texas. And so they hosted this show and just had that open theme, Art of Consent, and what does consent mean to you? And so I submitted my proposal to create a text-based work and actually didn't have the idea fully fleshed out when I submitted it, and was thrilled when I was accepted and kind of actually shifted gears. I found several yards of this like lilac naga hide fabric in the back of a closet at an estate sale, and it was perfect. I needed to use it for something. So I ended up creating two pieces that went together, and one of them says, "I want to be touched," and that piece is actually meant for viewers to interact with through touch, however they feel comfortable, and just kind of thinking about that idea of consent. And then the other piece looks almost identical except for the letters. It's the same fabric and the same style, and it says, "Don't touch me," and since it says, "Don't touch me," you're not allowed to touch it. just wanted to think about, like, you can look exactly the same, be in the same circumstance, based on whatever you're feeling and what your wishes are, that idea of consent is still important.
I like that it's very witty in the sense that the same question could be asked about art as, do you have consent to touch the art? I mean, that's something I think art is, or it's a question that people have a tendency to not know what to do with sometimes. Like, if there's a piece of art that is made, I can't think of what the artist's name is. Oh, dear. I'll find her and put her on Instagram after I've looked through things. I can't think of what her name is, but she makes these benches that are supposed to be sat on, and they say things like, "If you're tired, sit on me."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and people don't, and so she put instructions on the bottom of them about how the museum should be treating them if they are being sat on and start to deteriorate and stuff like that. And I was like, that's such a good way of talking about things, like literally spelling it out, just like you did. Literally spelling it out.
I love that. Yeah. And it was very few people, at least I didn't get to stay for very long during the opening, but I didn't see very many people touch it. Just a couple of the people that I talked to about it did. And, you know, everybody in the room looked at them kind of crazy. Like, why are you touching that up on the wall?
Everyone gets nervous.
If you hadn't read the little statement next to it.
Yeah. Well, that's even more powerful for the idea of you should feel uncomfortable sometimes, in, especially with that, the theme of the show. It's like there's some comfortable feelings that should be felt that sometimes are not, and this time it's they shouldn't be feeling guilty, but they are feeling guilty. So that's a lot of content that you're unraveling there. I like that.
Yeah, I definitely want to experiment with this idea somewhere in some future work.
Oh yeah, I love that series that body of work you've been working on over the years of these big plush words. They're great. Okay, so something I ask is, what's in your glass? Are you a coffee person? Are you a tea person? Is there something else in there?
I've got black coffee just about always. It's either water or coffee.
Yes. I always say, I'm like, I have usually like 4 or 5 glasses half finished, sprinkled throughout my studio and home and anywhere else I go. So coffee and tea. I'm not biased on those. I like both.
But what? Yeah, I'm definitely black coffee.
Black coffee all the way. Yeah, that is something I'm very passionate about is don't you put anything in my coffee. Like, I want it exactly how it comes out of the machine. I don't want you to taint it.
Yes.
It's black all the way. If you could give yourself a tip, so if you could go back in time, back when you're starting out, hopefully maybe some of these listeners are people who are looking for information about how to get started and they need a good tip or trick. What would be a tip or trick you would grant a younger version of yourself?
So there's a list of 10 rules from Creed Kent, the Immaculate Consent school that's no longer there, but their art school. And one of their rules is the only rule is work. And I use that as a mantra when I'm feeling stuck. I have a tendency to get in my head and I won't want to use a material because I'm like holding on to it and feel like it's so precious. Or I'll just feel like the idea is dumb and I shouldn't start. But yeah, just get started on something and keep working and something will come from it. Even if it's not a product that you keep, you'll learn something along the way.
That's the truth. Oh my goodness. And it always works itself out is what I've learned. If the idea feels dumb beforehand, you end up working into a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes too, I'll find things that I've kind of hidden away in my studio, someone will get their eyes on it and like it more than other things that I've put out there. So I don't know. Hold on to all your ideas.
Yeah.
And just work through it.
That I love that so much. I kind of feel like that's similar to what everybody else has been saying. It's either something about you just need to be making something or don't take yourself too seriously. So I think working is the most, I mean, obviously, if you are not working, then you don't have any art to show. And if you don't have any art to show, then you don't actually get to be into shows. So you got to create things before you can worry about all the details.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. Actually, so you're talking about items in your studio. My next question I ask is, what is your favorite thing in your studio? So is there that one thing or maybe it's a supply that you can't live without?
For me, it's definitely kitchen blenders that I use to make paper pulp. I try to get them thrifted so that they're in their second life and eventually the motors run out. Yeah, I shred up paper first by hand and then mix it with water and turn it into pulp to reuse.
That's great. Is there a blender you've noticed is your favorite brand?
No, but I haven't really paid that much attention, to be honest. I have noticed the ones that look older are sturdier and last longer. So
I found that with sewing machines, too.
Yeah, there's no manufactured obsolescence or whatever in the old blenders.
Yeah, that's interesting. See, and I mean, that makes perfect sense considering what you're making. What would you recommend someone who's just starting out? What item would you recommend that they should always have?
For papermaking or...
Just in general, for anybody's studio.
For anybody's studio.
I know it makes it a little tricky since you're so focused on certain products.
Yeah, definitely. I think keeping some hard copy resource books around is a nice thing to pick up if you're ever kind of stuck. I like to just flip through books and I'll sticky note pages and kind of have that as a break. That's better for me than getting on my phone because that's easily distracting.
Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
The black hole of scrolling.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting because I have a really nice library that I didn't realize I had scattered between my home and what was from the studio up at Cedars. Now it's at home. So as I was readjusting myself into a new studio experience, I was realizing I needed a bigger bookshelf because the collection had gotten larger. And I do use them a lot. I'm always having to go back and look through them because it is a lot better than scrolling forever because I always get distracted.
Yeah.
That's a good tip. I haven't heard that one yet. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We need to cover some questions from the viewers. I have 2 new questions. Thank you guys for writing me and giving me some questions to ask because I think you might be one of the first people so far who hasn't had one of my many questions my son came up with. When we first started, I didn't have any questions from any listeners because it was all brand new. And so I asked my 14-year-old, I hope he comes up with some good questions. Give me 5 or 6 questions that I can ask people. And they were great and I loved them. But we've made it through them. So I've got 2 questions from my wonderful followers on Instagram. Thank you guys for actually writing and telling me what you're interested in hearing from my guests and myself and how it works. I'll ask two questions. I'll let you answer, then I'll answer. So first question, what is your favorite art adventure?
So I was trying to think about this question as far as like going to a place adventure. There was one time driving back from New Mexico, we took one of the scenic routes through the Sandia Mountains, and there's a place called Tinkertown that was, I don't know the artist's name, but he basically spent his whole life carving these little dioramas. And you go through the place. My husband actually got claustrophobic and had to go out to the car, and I kept adventuring through because it's just rooms and rooms of these little carved dioramas. That's really cool if you ever get a chance to see it and stop through.
That sounds really fun. Yeah, I could see. I probably wouldn't let my husband go see it because he would never leave. No.
Yeah,
we do a lot of miniature things at our house because we're big D&D players, and so miniatures happen often. He's got a 3D printer, so yeah, we would get lost in there forever and never leave. So that sounds like a lot of fun. I'll have to get the location and share that because, yeah, I need to go see that.
It's a good road trip stop for sure.
That is awesome. Well, my favorite adventure was I took a residency in at NYU for a summer, and I got to live in New York, which was a dream of mine. And I actually left my family for a whole 8 weeks. It was slightly hard. It was one of those times where it was like, this was the most amazing thing that I've wanted to do my whole life. And then I missed my family terribly for the whole time, but I had great memories. It was definitely adventure. I had to find an apartment, and I had wonderful, I don't know a better word, dream roommates who were around my age and amazing women who were doing stuff. One, she worked at the Met, and one, she was a entrepreneur, and one, she worked business. I don't know which business it was, but it was a lot of fun, and we would do things. And then I had a studio space, and it was a dream come true. So that was my big adventure. I don't know how I'm going to be able to ever top that. It was great. Besides, you know, having a kid, that was also my favorite adventure.
Right. That's awesome. And that's awesome to hear that you did that, because I have an almost 1-year-old, and I've been thinking about residencies and how, if I'm going to, you know, totally put my life on pause forever for the next 18 years,
yeah,
or if I'm going to continue to go after that. So we'll see.
That's actually a great thing to bring up, is I actually have seen many different residencies that are open to families now. So that might be something you look into, is like, I don't qualify because my kid's too old now. They really prefer it for younger people in those circumstances, younger kids, I should say. So that might be something. And then the first residency I did, it's called Residency in Motherhood. And you want to probably check it out. I'll share this also on Instagram when I release a podcast. So they're a really great backing you up kind of system, where it's all on your own terms. You set your own boundaries of time and space and all of that. And then they have a really great Facebook community. And I've stayed in touch with that Facebook community for years, because I did that when Asher was younger. And so when I heard about this New York experience, I reached out to them, because several of them had gone on residencies. I was like, you guys, can I do this? Am I going to ruin my son's life because I'm leaving him? Is he going to be traumatized? You know, help me out. Because Asher was like 10, 11 at the time. And they're like, no, actually, I highly recommend you show him that a woman can go out and do these things. And he'll always remember that women and moms, they have their own lives that are going on. And it's important for them, and it has been. He's always treated me with respect about that, and I came home and there was all kinds of inside jokes that I can never ever understand. So I was like, oh, wait a minute. Y'all had a lot of fun without me, didn't you? It's like, wait, yeah. Let me catch up. But
that's such good perspective, for sure.
Yes.
To be a model of what the balance that you want your kids to know that they should have in their life too. That's great.
Exactly. So you can do it. I totally believe in you.
Nice. Yeah.
I would wait until, you know, you've got a couple more years on there.
Yeah. Unless it's one I can take her with.
But. Yeah. There's some good ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we covered our two. Well, we just did one question, didn't we? Okay. I got one more question for the list from the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stay motivated each day and through the tough times?
So I think for me, just putting it into perspective that this is a season, it will end. Mm-hmm. It's really helpful for me when I'm going through something hard. So, I mean, right now I thought that I was going to get at least 2 days a week in my studio this year. And put my daughter in daycare for one whole week, and she got COVID and the flu, and we were out for a month.
Oh, no.
And we ended up pulling her out of daycare. So we're making it work with family for now, and I'm, you know, still figuring out how I can make it to the studio and divide that work up between home. But I know, you know, this is temporary. There will be more time in a month or two where I can have those days back. So.
Well, that's the answer, same answer I'd give is almost exactly the same kind of feeling, not the same personality, pretty much the same answer. And for very similar reasons, I definitely say it's, you have to remind yourself every day. It's like today is today, tomorrow is tomorrow, and everything changes. And that I found has been the most help when I've had very low seasons. Same thing where when I first started in the studio, I'm like, I have a long drive. I've got a job. I've got a family. How do I make this work? And then I finally figured out, it's like, you know, even if I'm up there twice a month, that is progress. It's also the greatest thing about the Cedars Union, it's kind of like a business card, just having your studio there. And I found I've made a lot of connections, even if I wasn't there. And so that was really, I mean, especially since my work was changing, I think that was key. So I think it's the idea of you're in your head a lot too, especially with a little one, you're probably spending a lot of time thinking about your work. Yeah. I know that's what I do. And it's like, when I get back in the studio, it is full force while I'm there because I'm taking advantage of the time.
Yeah, that first week of January when I was there, I got more than I got done in the first 10 months of my daughter's life. It was just like all of the constipation of art. Just
yes, that was a perfect analogy. You're like, oh,
yeah. Been building up.
So true.
And had to look through it all. Yeah.
I love that. That's perfect. That's a perfect analogy. Oh my gosh. And it is so satisfying, too, when you get in there and you're able to actually get things done uninterrupted. And that's a great feeling. So it's like, and I tell myself that, too. And when I get stuck, it's like, remember, you're going to have a time where you have time and you'll get all these things done. It's going to feel amazing. Remember that. It's happened in the past. You'll get back there. So
yeah.
That's a great question. So, now it's time for a little bit of art news. So I am going to talk a little bit about what I've seen recently that knocked my socks off. And then I'm going to ask you about some things that you've seen that knocked your socks off. Something that recently I saw at the Amon Carter in Fort Worth was installation by Houston-based artist Natasha Bowden. Her work is like whimsical and it's inspired by botanicals, but it's definitely 3D. She has like cut latex on the walls and floors sometimes that look like shadows. It's inviting but also mysterious. I love her work, and so it's been a little while since I experienced the installation, but I'm still marinating in ideas and obsessing about her work. Recently, I don't know if it was this week or last week, she had a book come out with some of her work and some images that look beautiful. I don't have my hands on that book, but that's the thing that's been knocking my socks off, is knowing there's a book out there I need. But what about you? What have you seen lately?
Truthfully, the only thing I've been able to get to was the opening for the group show that I had, the piece in the Art of Consent. But I will say that if you get a chance, I know it's going to be coming down next Saturday, but there was just such insightful and varied work. Especially there was one from Tyra Johnson was the other, the other juror's winner. And she has a relief sculpture that is just really great to see in person.
I really want to see it. That's okay. There's a few things that, have been up that were on my top things to see, and I did not get around to it, but let's just say if anyone can get to see some of these works, you can enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I'll put things on Instagram so y'all can see the flattened version of reality. But that's, you know, sometimes it's the best you can see out of the experience. And that works too.
Mm-hmm.
In person. Especially I want to feel one of your pieces. The touch me one.
You know where to find me. So
they're so fun. Awesome. Well, thank you for joining me today, and thank you, listeners, for listening in. Check out my podcast's Instagram at Don't Drink Paint Water Podcast. Please follow, and also follow Laura. I'll have her tagged so you can follow along. Give us some love. Thanks for listening in. Thank you, podcasting wizards at TogiNet. If you want to start a podcast and sound amazing, I highly recommend you check them out. Don't forget, like this episode, it supports me and helps me make more podcasts. Also, check out the podcast's Instagram at Don't Drink Paint Water Podcast. Yes, one word. To see pictures of what I've talked about and to leave your questions for my future guests. See you on the next episode of Don't Drink the Paint Water, the podcast.